The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to the K for Wins. It's the four of us. We all have a K in our names. I'm Tony Curry. We have Kai Gregory. We have Case Kiefer. We have Kit Kiefer. And we've got the four of us. Of course,
I've got two K's. Why aren't we 5K?
You know what? We could be 5K.
I'm wearing a K.
And you are wearing a K. Welcome, boys. We're getting ready for Curse College football season. We've been talking a lot about that on our shows. Now we air on Tuesdays and Fridays, 10 o'clock Central Time, of course. And thanks to Angels, the entire crew of the Coastal Sports Network for having us on 129 The Game. We greatly appreciate that. Of course, all the shows listened to on Tony Curry Radio, over 100,000 subscribers. We greatly appreciate everyone tuning in and getting ready for college football season. Of course, we got a lot of Major League Baseball to get into. If you listen to our show, of course, you can find us wherever we're available on podcast, on every major industry out there. You can check us out. I want to start with Kip, though, because we got into something last week. We ran out of time. You found a very interesting article about quarterbacks and some of the best quarterbacks in college football as we get ready for the season to start. I guess that Dublin game's coming up here on August 23rd. But I know you had a couple of ideas because it was very, very strange in where some of those quarterbacks were actually placed in this particular role, particularly since he had some guys like, I don't know, Manning, who's supposed to be a Heisman Trophy, who hasn't taken a snap yet.
Picked as the fifth best quarterback in this poll in the SEC. Pretty interesting situation. And of course I understand the reason. His last name is Manning. If it was Arch Snodgrass, I don't think he'd been in the top 25, but you know, that being said, I just found some of the rankings kind of odd. You know, again, we are pretty much SEC centric here, although we're going to stray into some other territories today. But just the pecking order of SEC quarterbacks in this poll, to me, was a little bit mystifying because you got a lot of guys that really haven't played very much football. And for Alabama and Georgia fans, might be scratching their heads a little bit to see Ty Simpson and Gunnar Stockton both ranked in the upper 30s at 36 and 37, respectively, while other guys that have not played very much at all, like Austin Simmons from Ole Miss, who was impressive the little bit we saw him last year backing up Jackson Dart. And the one that really baffles me is the Penn State transfer, Bo Pribula. Maybe Case or Kai have some kind of insight on the spectacular Bo Pribula, who's a guy that, to me, just kind of comes out of nowhere. And he's ranked about 12 spots ahead of both those five-star, very highly touted incoming SEC quarterbacks. And from a Tennessee perspective, Kai, I find it a little baffling that Joey Aguilar is the lowest-ranked quarterback in this poll in the SEC at number 50, behind guys like Chasen at Mississippi State, who we haven't seen very much. He got hurt like in the second or third game last year. And also Calzada, who I think was playing, he engineered the Texas A&M win a couple of years ago, a lot of years ago, seems like 5 or 6 years ago against Alabama, and still kicking around after being on like three different teams. He's ranked ahead of Aguilar. So I just thought there were some anomalies there that you guys might want to explore. And I don't know what the criteria is. The article explained it was based on experience and recruiting stature at some point. But I just found some of the rankings kind of odd.
Well, let's start with Case out there. Of course, he's the chief editor of the Las Vegas Sun. Joins us every single week on Tuesdays and Fridays, 10 o'clock Central Time here. And of course, everyone's talking about, is this James Franklin's final first year of being a national champion? I mean, he's been there. It's amazing. Some of the numbers: 34-2 as a favorite, 27-0 when favored by 6 or more points, 0-6 as an underdog at Penn State. Penn State plays the way they're supposed to play. If they're favored to win, they're going to win. If they're favored to lose or they're an underdog, they lose. And that's why maybe James Franklin hasn't seen or felt the feeling of a national title yet. With Drew Allar and some of the other pieces coming back, is this the most complete team? And what do you think about his quarterback play?
On the quarterbacks, I don't know. I'm less mystified by the rankings. I get kind of what Kip is saying, but I think this has taken off Mike Sando's NFL tiers, which has been super popular, where he gets rankings from tons of people, exchanges anonymity for it. So it's probably long overdue that came to college football. I think those four guys Kip mentioned, I admit, are super hard to put in order. My guess is what they did is just go based on what we've seen on the field so far. Now, I know that's very flawed. It's been very, very limited samples. But I think for sure on the field, Simmons and Pribula have shown more than Stockton and Ty Simpson. However, to me, if I was making these rankings, I think it has to be based on recruiting rankings. And I know some people don't like recruiting rankings. Those are people living in the snow. You've probably heard me go on this rant before, but every single person that's betting college football seriously, that's building these models that shape the model, like recruiting rankings are a huge part of them. This is not 20 years ago when some of these sites are just popping up. I mean, these kids that are elite go to camps all around the country. I think probably my favorite person that covers the sport, Bud Elliott, you've probably heard of, has this thing called the blue chip ratio, where he's found like the last 20 years, you have to hit certain marks of recruiting to have any chance of winning the national championship. I think like 19 of the last 20s have had, I don't remember the exact numbers, but like 75% of their team are like four or five stars. There's just a talent threshold you have to hit. He also said something that just blew my mind the other day. We're up to 60% of kids that are five stars end up making the NFL. And I think it's like 40% four stars. That is just absolutely insane.
Wow. It
shows how far we've come scouting. Wow. These are like 16 and 17 year old kids. It just shows you how far the industry's come and how good. So I think recruiting has to be part of it. And in recruiting wise, Simpson was another level than all these guys. I believe he committed to Georgia and then went to Alabama. He was like a five-star across the board. So I think the right way, if it was me doing the rankings, was if you tell me right now you've got the most basic team, like skill positions, you have these guys, who are you drafting to be your quarterback? Out of those four, I would go Simpson first. I know Kip's going to hate to see this, but hear this, but Stockton would definitely be four for me. I don't, and this isn't projecting towards the end of the season. Obviously, he has a lot more at his disposal. He's a lot better around him than I think. Certainly, Pribula and probably Simmons too. Although the Ole Miss scheme is pretty good to quarterbacks. I think like Stockton was maybe highly ranked some other places, but he was not at the level of a recruit as these other four guys. And then maybe if you want to throw in like the money argument, I'm sure that Simpson and Pribula are making the most money of these four. I mean, Pribula was pretty clearly like the second prize behind Carson Beck of the transfer portal this year. I don't think he ever would have left Penn State. There was just, I think the writing came on the wall that Aller was coming back for another year. So I don't know. It's interesting. I think by the end of the year, we'll definitely be saying Pribula's fourth because he doesn't have the supporting cast of these other three guys. But I think right now, if it was me, I would have Simpson first among those guys and Stockton last. Also, just since I have it in front of me, they do have Calzada last. He's at 63. Aguilar second to last. It's 60.
Okay, I must have got that wrong. Sorry about that.
Chapin is two spots ahead of him. I think Chapin, you could kind of make the argument the other way just because he actually has played a lot of football between Baylor, and he was kind of trending up at Mississippi State in week four when he got hurt. So it kind of disproves my theory that I think they're going all based on what you've seen on the field, because based on what you've seen on the field, I feel like Chapin could be a little higher. So yeah, I know you also asked about Penn State. I'm Mr. Penn State apparently on this show this year. I just really like the team. I think they have strong position group coming back in every place. I hate to always have to be the knight in shining armor to James Franklin and defend him. I don't think he's like the best coach in the nation or anything, but when people cite the 0-6, 0-7, you said the key word there. He was an underdog in all those games. It's not like they have the better team and they lose. I hate the choker argument forever. I mean, almost every national – it's so hard to win a national championship. You know, Michigan was always a choker. Ryan Day was a choker. Georgia was a choker. Like, the last six national championships were, quote-unquote, chokers until they got it done. It would mean more to me if he had, like, went into all these games and had the better team and they just didn't perform up to standard.
Sure.
Really, they're doing exactly what you think they would. We'll see.
Absolutely.
This year should be a little different. I think they'll only be underdogs at Ohio State. Otherwise, they won't be. If they go like 10-2 this regular season, it is a letdown, and I'll listen more to the James Franklin criticisms. But right now, yeah, he hasn't been able to transcend, but in my opinion, he hasn't done anything wrong either.
I'm not being critical at all of him. I never used the word choker with him. Obviously, they brought him in to win a national title, and he has not done that yet. He goes out and steals Jim Knowles from Ohio State, which I thought was a huge get. Of course, Ohio State's got to replace both their OC and their DC, which is going to be kind of difficult to do. But yeah, they do what they've got to do. And when you're talking about Allen and Singleton coming back as seniors, this team's ball in. I mean, this team is all in. Everyone's like, no one went to the portal. No one went to the NFL. Everyone's like, we're all in. We're going to win the national title. And if it's going to happen, I would have to think this is probably going to be the year for this to happen. When you talk to quarterback play, Kai, and obviously you study this stuff, you look at this stuff, anything surprising to you by this list that Kip just brought up? Listen, the Manning thing is interesting because obviously he's got this Ohio State game right off the front. And if the Texas doesn't win that, winning that game, his odds are going to go up. Case has even said, listen, if you can go ahead and buy in now, your numbers are going to be a lot better because if he loses that game, his numbers are going to fall off. If he wins that game, they're going to go up. What's your thoughts?
Well, you know, I got to jump back into the Penn State thing. I'll go right back where you led, Tony, just to finish up on what Case is saying, because I agree with him. Nobody likes to run the score up more than Penn State either, except for maybe Oregon. But, you know, we talked about it, I think, a month ago, right when it came out. And I was all over Nevada in that first game. And I actually got it at 49.5. And I think the opening line was 46. It jumped up real quickly. I got it at 49.5. It's down to 44 now. In that Penn State Nevada game, week one, which I am thinking all about trying to middle that crap at 45, 46, 47, 48. I'm a big fan of getting an opportunity to 5-point middle a game. Getting back to what you said, you know, the reason why Aguilar is so far down on that list, in my opinion, Kip, is because what he did at App State, he threw the ball all over the place. He also threw the ball to the other team a lot.
Yeah,
and I personally think Tennessee will have a better offense throwing the ball with him more than Nico. Nico did the same thing Joe Milton did, which is throw the ball 100 miles an hour wherever he threw it, whether it was 50 yards downfield or 5 yards downfield. And I think Aguilar will come in. But I also think if you were to, and I've talked to some people, I think if they were to play a game today, Jake Merklinger would be the starter. It would not be Aguilar.
Interesting.
As well. And so there's that. As far as the whole Arch Manning thing, you know, yeah, it's a 100% name, but at the same time, every time he came in last year, he did okay. They didn't stop throwing the ball. They didn't change their offense and go into, hey, freshman mode, with him or anything like that. So I was impressed by that. And I know, and everybody else is against me, I'm still all over Texas. In that first game, I really like the fact that they're going to Ohio State. Ohio State starting that game with a defense, new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, their quarterback situation, everything about it. And I think Texas is going to line up and pound the ball. Ohio State, you know, has decent numbers returning, I think, on defense, but they're getting 48% of their returning production and on defense on their returning starters, 48%. Returning 124 starts on all in all, offensively and defensively, whereas I think Texas is way higher numbers than that. That's just looking at the Big Ten numbers that I have. So I'm still, and I'm going to have to be talked out of it. I know the line's dropped to 2.5 now for Ohio State, but when I got Texas at 3 and went up 3.5 on that, it was not, what was that?
It's gone back up. This line's been crazy to watch 2 months.
I just looked today.
I have the screen in front of me, and I just looked. There's last time I looked, which was a week ago, it was 2.5 across the board. Now we got threes everywhere. So it's been there's warring factions. I would say for sure, I wouldn't bet. Even I don't bet actual games this early, but I would say for sure, if you are, do not bet Texas at less than 3, and do not bet Ohio State at more than 2.5, because chances are you're going to be able to find both of them.
My brother, my oldest brother, and my older sister only have one. Both graduated from Ohio State. She lives in Indianapolis. He actually lives in an area of Ohio State area called Delaware, Ohio. And I asked the question last week. I said, if Ryan Day never beats Michigan again, but you're good for another couple of championships, would you take it? And he actually had to pause for a few seconds, because when I first came to town, it was like, it doesn't matter whether you go 1-11, as long as your win is against Auburn, Alabama, who cares? You want to win that game? You don't give a squat about national championships or anything else. For him to lose to Michigan the way they did and then win a national title, of course, the Big Ten's won the last couple of natties. That says a lot about how much Ohio State hates Michigan and how much Michigan hates Ohio State. So we'll see if Ryan Day can get off that schneid after losing 4 games in a row. Before we move any further, we've got some bad news when it comes to the numbers. Kai, how'd we do this past week real quick? I know this has not happened very often, but we are very transparent on the show, k4wins.com. Game4wins.com. You can see all the numbers. What we got?
Well, last week we were actually okay. It was 75%. We were 12-4. The bad news is yesterday, you know, with the consensus play sent to me by all of us, I chose the wrong three to post, and we went 1-2. So, you know, I know Kip was 4-1, and we had some disagreements on some of his games, so I didn't post those. We posted three games and went 1-2. But still, year to date, we are 570, 316, and 4.
Well, since I'm always right, I don't understand that precedent.
I think you and I were opposites on at least one game.
Oh, so it's your fault.
It ain't my fault because I play at your place too. What are you talking about?
Okay,
when you go 4-1, I go 4-1. So I'm taking your place.
Yeah, I'm up sweating late night for the Dodgers to hold on against the Twins, and you guys are telling me it was a worthless endeavor.
I was asleep way before that.
I did have Milwaukee yesterday. I'm trying to figure out why that
was. They and they've won 11 in a row. And yeah. Case, what's your take on this Brewers team? I saw them in a three-game series against the Braves about a month ago, and I was thinking, boy, this team, it's amazing they're over 500. I wasn't impressed at all. Now they're on fire. What is going on there?
I totally agree, and I bet against them like every day, so it's not been a fun run for me. A smart organization that I feel like develops these guys well. I mean, all these guys that weren't hitting at the beginning of the year, these like second and third year guys, all of a sudden are smashing the ball. I can't catch up. I'm telling you, I constantly bet against them. I bet against them last night. They didn't get there. And I think the pitching staff's just really come together nicely. I mean, I usually like to bet against these guys that are just coming back after a long time out. I think I've bet against Woodruff like every start, and he's been incredible. He's just
Except where
he's left off, and it's made it so that they have, you know, even their back of the rotation guys have been, I think like Quintana's been better than he has been the last few years.
Peralta's good every single time he goes.
Ben Priester like, killed everyone the other day. So, yeah, it's all really coming together there, and it continues to baffle me. I think they're going to take a step back at some point. I'm with you, but it hasn't happened yet.
Well, before we get into the SEC football, and I know the case was like, dude, we're just beating the SEC up like a dead horse. That's what we do around here, man. My boss always said, if you're tired of talking about something, talk about it some more. And so we continue to do that. We are going to dive into the Big Ten today. We'll get into the Big 12 coming up on Friday show at 10 o'clock if you're a Big 12 fan. So make sure you're listening up 10 o'clock Central Time right here on the Coastal Sports Network and on Tony Curry Radio. Blue Jays, Tigers, Astros, Phillies, Brewers, Dodgers. The Brewers now lead the Central by a game over the Chicago Cubs, 8.5 over the St. Louis Cardinals, and by 8.5 over my Cincinnati Reds, who every time I look up, my Reds are three games over 500. I guess I should be happy with that since I've got the over 78.5, but every time I look up, they're three games over. They can win 12 games in a row, and the Reds are three games over 500 every time I check the standings out. Let's talk some Major League Baseball real quick and get into it. And, yeah, behind the Milwaukee Brewers, of course, winning their 11th game in a row, that is certainly one of the beautiful stories of this particular season. The Toronto Blue Jays don't appear to be going anywhere anytime soon, and everyone's saying it's the Yankees to win or lose their four games out. Kip, your ideas on those Canadians actually winning the East in the American League. It appears that the Toronto Blue Jays, they didn't make a lot of changes by the All-Star break, but they didn't have to.
Yeah, we'll see what comes up. There's still about a week and a half before the deadline. Every team is going to be trying to tweak. If you've got some teams that are out of it, bullpen pieces, as always, are the prized possessions. I think Toronto's just on a really good run like Milwaukee. I don't really love their team from top to bottom. But after watching the Yankees this week, gosh, the Yankees the pitching is pretty pathetic. Some of those guys they trotted out there in the Braves series, and they managed to win two out of three because they overcame a 7-2 deficit Saturday night when the Braves pitching totally collapsed. But yeah, this Yankees team, I don't know. I know they've got the big bashers and they can score runs in bunches, but they have a lot of games where they don't score at all. So I like the Red Sox and the Blue Jays better than them at this point of the season. Maybe they'll make some deals. No telling who they'll acquire. When you have an unlimited budget and exceed it every year, I guess you can pull off miraculous acquisitions. But yeah, this is becoming a really intriguing baseball season. And I've got to say too, another hot team you didn't mention, Case Kiefer's Chicago White Sox closing in on the gigantic over under of 52.5 for the season.
They're going to get there.
Oh, definitely.
They're going to get there. They're 16 games short. They won four in a row. They'll get there. Yeah, considering what they started the season with, absolutely. They've got a shot. It should be really interesting to see where they're going to go. You know, when you get back to the Yankees, too, and, of course, if you're not a Yankees fan, you're a Yankees hater, you hate that. How many times have I seen – I've been following baseball since I was born, 1966. How many times do I have to see a team that's got a 35, 36, 37, 40-yard or 40-home run guy, and they just – I don't care if he's hitting solos. I don't care what it is. Judge is having just an absolute monster year, and everyone around him can't hit crap. Giancarlo seems like he's always banged up. Everyone on either side of him, now he strikes out a lot. But just because you got a Trout or just because you got a Judge doesn't mean you're going to win a pennant. Case?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I think hates the, or maybe Kip, Kai and Kip, I guess both hate the Yankees more than me. Not that I'm a fan, but I have found it hilarious to just watch the fans squirm. I mean, they still have a pretty good roster and stuff, but I mean, they just can't get out of, that they're not in the George Steinbrenner anymore. And I've heard just so many complaints that they're not going to be super aggressive at the trade deadline, that they let Juan Soto get away this offseason. They're really not just throwing around money like they have for so long. And I've heard the Yankees fans are so upset about that, which makes me chuckle because I think they've still had it pretty good. But it is a concern going into the trade deadline because I'm sure they'll be active. I'm sure they'll make some moves. But, you know, if it comes down to who's going to outbid, I mean, by all – everything we've seen the last like 2 or 3 years, the Blue Jays are more willing to throw around money and do whatever it takes to win. So, you know, as of right now, 4 games, I think that's enough to make me flip where I got to say, if I had to pick a division winner right now, it would be the Blue Jays. I still think the Yankees are the better team. Although, I mean, there is concern, like Kip said, with the pitching, with all the injuries they have. I just think if you rewind this back, even like 10 or 15 years ago, I would still think, oh, the Yankees will do what they need to do at the trade deadline and make this a race. But I don't know. I have more faith that the Blue Jays are going to attack more here in the next 10 days or whatever it is. We'll have to see about that. But, yeah, it should be a fun race. I was surprised to see, just looking at the standings right now, I thought the Red Sox would still be a couple games out of the wild card, but they are in the playoffs right now. So, yeah, I wouldn't totally lose sight of them yet. It hasn't been great coming back from the All-Star break. Had a tough schedule. But I still think that division is going to be fun to watch. And, yeah, the Red Sox, if they got into the playoffs, could be intriguing. I mean, the MLB playoffs are such a crapshoot with so few games compared to the regular season. I feel like anyone could probably make a run, especially in the American League. I feel like it's wide open for any of these teams.
Yeah, Kyle, your Bo Sox have just cooled off just a little bit, but still 7-3 the last 10.
Well, I think Boston's kind of like a little bit to me Milwaukee also, because you can argue Milwaukee may have the best pitching staff and rotation in Major League Baseball. You know, everybody was up in arms last week at this time when the Miz got assigned to the All-Star game. And he wasn't incredible in the All-Star game, but he didn't suck, and he's come out and done, you know, very well. Like you were saying, Woodruff coming back has looked really good. They just got – what's the other – they just got another pitcher back. Can't remember his name. In the last month, they've gotten back, and their pitching has done very well. And defense travels. Why are the Yankees sliding? Because they either hit a home run or they strike out.
Yeah,
that's what Judge does. I mean, yeah, sure, he gets walked. He doesn't get walked like Barry Bonds got walked. That's totally different. Imagine what the Yankees could be had they signed Soto, because he's had an extremely good year. And then you look at something, I don't remember what it was. I saw somewhere, I'm sure it was ESPN, that Skubal for Detroit is in line to make $400 million, you know, when he re-signs this contract. But where is he going to be? It's not Detroit. It's going to be with the Yankees, the Dodgers, you know, the Cubs, something like that, depending on who will spend the money. You know, so really loving it. But, you know, what's funny is, so for the first time this year, the Yankees do not have the largest run differential in Major League Baseball. So the question is, who does? Can you guess?
Cubs.
You got it. First guess. Cubs.
Wow, there you go.
+115, the Yankees are +109. Wow. Biggest run differential, we don't even have to guess. I mean, it's Colorado. They're -257.
That's
good grief.
Yeah.
Right, so for the first time this year, Detroit no longer has the best home record in Major League Baseball. Who does?
Philly? No. Houston?
Nope.
Somebody just won 20-4 their last 24 games. Who was it?
Toronto at 36-16 has the best record.
Yeah,
worst home record. How about this? Worst home record and worst road record same team, same exact record. Colorado at 12-38 at home, wow. 12-38 on the road. Best road record is still Detroit, but it's 28-23. So you look at that. And then one that I know that I have to always bring up just, you know, to break Kip's heart. You have the run differential of teams with a losing record plus and winning record minus. No one has a winning record minus anymore. Arizona is 50-51. They're plus 17 runs. Atlanta, even though they're 44-55,
unbelievable.
11 games under 500, still have a plus 5 run differential.
That's amazing. And you know, you look at that Toronto, the Toronto squad too. They're 28 games or they're 18 games over 500, but they've only got a plus 29 differential. Well, I know you're into these differentials, and it's just so skewed because to look at those, I guess at the end of the year, it ends up averaging out and it ends up playing out the way it's supposed to. By the way, don't forget about my Cincinnati Reds too. You're talking about some of the best pitching in Major League Baseball, man. They cannot get the run support when they need it. But Green's going to be coming back next week with Lodolo and Abbott, and they got a couple of kids on that squad that got 2.07 ERAs, and they're fantastic too. So that's the one thing the Reds have always missed out on, starting pitching and bullpen. And, of course, that's the two things you have to win a World Series. If the Reds could just score some runs, maybe they'll be in the mix too. But, again, 3 games over .500, and every time we do the show, they're 3 games over .500. I'm just sick and tired of it. All right, let's talk some SEC. Yeah, let's finish up on the SEC football. Obviously, we're going to talk a lot of SEC football, a lot of ACC stuff. We're going to get into that. Big 12 coming up on Friday. We can kind of put a bow on this in case. I'll start with you. Alabama, Florida, a lot of people talking about Billy Napier. Is this one of his best years? The Georgia Bulldogs, they're going to bounce back. LSU with Brian Kelly. So many different storylines. Oklahoma looked horrible. They got better towards the end of the season last year. Ole Miss, Tennessee, 11-3. Texas, 13-3 last year. This obviously is the league of leagues, but they haven't won a national title in 3 years. What's your overall
2 years.
Two years, but it's been three since they can claim it.
I mean, let's not declare year. The Big Ten almighty because hey, Michigan cheated about, and Ohio State got on a roll.
We're all about drama here, my friend. It's whatever it clicks be. You know what I'm saying? Eric,
all right.
So settle down now. Case, what's your thoughts on the Big Ten and before the Big Ten, but the SEC?
Michigan, man, that's some gymnastics to defend the SEC's honor. The Michigan cheated. Everyone's cheating in some way. That's ridiculous. Yep. If it was an SEC school, Kip would say, "If you're not cheating, you're not trying."
You're not trying. That's right. That's right. I am consistent.
Top to bottom, the SEC is clearly still the class. I do think. I know I'm not going to make any friends. I think the top of the Big Ten has been better the last couple of years. I don't think it's just. A coincidence that they've won the national championship. It's going to be interesting to see this year. I know it does help when you have, I mean, the bottom tier is just pretty hopeless in the Big Ten. In the SEC, that's certainly not the case, especially with what you saw Vanderbilt did last year. Not to go back to the quarterback thing, but one that stood out to me actually is what we didn't even bring up. They had Diego Pavia. I don't have it in front of me now. Like 15th. I love Diego Pavia. Great
story. Good grief.
You're telling me I won a football game, right? I mean, he's not a top 15.
Yeah, come on. That's absurd.
I'm sorry. overarching SEC thoughts. I just I think this – to go a little bit different direction, since, yeah, I am guilty of saying I feel like we've beat it to death. I feel like I've talked about all these teams I like. I've been Mr. Alabama and Florida and negative on a lot of other teams. I think my overarching thought is just it's a lot more wide open than it's been. Even like last year, we saw the trend go that way where we thought it could be any team. Well, it ended up being the two favorites, Georgia and Texas, and Georgia won. This year, it's obviously I've talked about before being on Alabama 6-1 to win the conference. It opened where Georgia and Texas still priced ahead of everyone else, Alabama kind of in that second tier, and then a whole glut of teams in that third tier. To me, I just don't have a whole lot of separation between like the top six or seven teams. I would not be shocked if a bunch of different teams made a run and won it. I think this is the most wide open it's been coming into a year in a long time, in my opinion. I still prefer Alabama. I think a lot of that for me, though, goes to I just feel like compared to the betting market, I'm a little lower on both Texas and Georgia. I know Texas has all the talent in the world. I was the one that talked about how much these rankings matter and the blue chip and stuff. They check every box for that. But I still go back to like last year, except for against Georgia where they just wilted. I think their best units were their fronts, both defensively and offensively. Like all those guys are in the NFL now. I know they reloaded and they had great backups that they brought in some guys, but I hate to be the you have to prove it to me guy, but some of these guys just have to prove it to me. I don't think they're just going to, I mean, and Arch Manning's a good mascot of this team because he kind of has to show that he's the guy too. So yeah, they check every box in terms of talent, but man, they lost a lot too. And I feel like it's being glossed over. And you know, it's funny. I was Mr. Texas, I think the last 3 years, 2 years ago, I loved them to win the national championship, make the playoff. They obviously did. Last year, I was still really high on them. I feel like now the pendulum's kind of swung. Now they're not the perennial underachievers anymore. Now they're the Titans. And I just feel like they're priced a little too high for me. So I'm a little lower on Texas. Georgia, I feel like they were pretty fortunate to win the SEC last year. I do feel like they've done good things in the transfer portal. They're kind of you know, probably a little bit dipped from where they were talent-wise when they won the national championships, especially. So I'm not ruling either Texas or Georgia out of winning the title, but I just think there's more competition. There's a lot of teams where if you see everything click right, they could be right in the mix beyond those top three I talked about. I'm probably drinking the Kool-Aid, but I'm really high on LSU this year. I thought a lot of people would be high on them, and they're not. I think people are just tired of Brian Kelly. Ole Miss, I don't necessarily think is going to win, but I still feel like they're a team where one of the years all this is just going to click and they're going to come in. They might have the schedule to do it this year. Florida, I think Lagway has the upside to win the Heisman Trophy. Obviously, I bet him to win the Heisman Trophy. If that happens, they're in the mix. Oklahoma, if Mateer and Arbuckle are as good as a lot of people are piping them up to be, they could be in it. So I just feel like there's a lot of teams you could convince me could win this title by the end of the year.
No, and I think the SEC is being fun to talk about, first of all, because they haven't won a title in the last 2-3 years, depending on how you look at it. And that's a rarity for the SEC, particularly when you look over the last 10 or 15 years. And the fact that Alabama lost more games last year than they had in 17 or 18 years. The fact that Hugh Freeze is on the way out if he doesn't get a bowl win. And, of course, the Auburn Tigers put everything they had into him because they couldn't get Lane Kiffin. And when will Lane Kiffin win a national title? Because then he go to Ole Miss to come in second. So we know that. And there's just so many different things. Oklahoma, obviously, Oklahoma. That's not the same Oklahoma squad that we thought was going to be coming in the SEC. They played off a little bit, but I think Venables will have them back. And then, of course, you get the Florida Gators, who everyone talks about how nasty it is to play in the swamp. Just not so the last 3 or 4 years. Hadn't been that very difficult. And Billy Napier is still trying to find himself. Kai, I'll let you put a bow on the SEC. Then we'll go to Kip, and then we're going to hop into the Big Ten. But anything particular? Let me ask you this. Is there an Arizona State of the SEC? Is there a Kentucky? Is there any squad that we totally missed in the Big Ten?
Texas A&M.
Kentucky. And Kentucky's going to win 2 games this year. Yeah. You know, maybe 3.
Yeah.
So they're there. Real quick, for cases, also the unders. I mean, I've got Mississippi State winning 3 games, just going through the bottom. I got Kentucky winning 2 games. I've got Missouri only winning 6 games. I have South Carolina starting out 3-0 and only winning 6 games. And I have Vandy winning 4 games. So, you know, I like a whole bunch of unders there. You know, talking about, you know, where you were going with that. I mean, just going in and looking at the Texas schedule. We didn't talk about them, you know, last week we went through there. I mean, again, they started Ohio State. So I know everybody here has Ohio State except for me. So I'm going to give you that and go with a loss. And so if you do that, then in all reality, you only have Texas with 10 wins. And is their total 9.5 or 10.5 right now? Because, you know, they have the next week after Ohio State, they play San Jose State, easy win. UTEP, easy win. Sam Houston, easy win. Then they go to Florida. After a week off, they go to Florida. Now, Case is high on Florida and on Lagway. And playing in the swamp, all that, we'll look at the times. But I still think Texas wins that game because they're bigger up front on both sides of the ball. And I think they just have more talent, and I know they've got a better coach. But the next week after that, they host Oklahoma in the Red River rivalry, which is not really hosting, but, you know, technically speaking. So that is going to be a difficult game coming back after playing at Florida, you know, in my opinion. But then the next week they go to Kentucky, then they go to Mississippi State, then they get Vandy at home, and then they have a bye and they go to Georgia. If Georgia wins that game, then Texas can only win 10 games. So, you know, looking at that, then they host Arkansas and host Texas A&M. And Texas A&M is not going to be the easiest pushover.
I think they're going to be good.
Yeah. So, you know, we can look at these things, and I'll go through one more schedule just because, you know, it's my team. So, you know, looking at the schedule, I mean, I think Tennessee is going to beat Syracuse in that game one. I think it's going to be tougher than a lot of people think. It's in the dome, and I just don't think Tennessee is going to have the defense they had last year. I think they're going to have to do the same thing that Ole Miss is going to have to do. They're going to have to outscore a lot of people. And Oklahoma is not going to, I'm sorry, South Carolina is not going to have the defense they had last year. And that's what a lot of people don't understand.
Not even close.
People are overlooking that. They won a lot of games last year scoring 17, 18, 19, 20 points. They are not going to do that this year. If they don't score 30, they're not going to win. And I don't think Sellers can put up 30 points per game with what he has around him. So then Tennessee has ETSU. So there's two wins. Then they play Georgia, even though it's at Tennessee. I mean, Tennessee doesn't beat Georgia. So, I mean, it's just like when they go to Florida, they don't win. Then they got UAB. I think Tony and I need to go to that game. I'm not sure who.
We're there, man. We're there. We're in. I mean, I'll go watch a bloodbath with you. Let's do it.
Then they go to Mississippi State, a win. They play Arkansas. Could be a win, revenge. Then they go to Alabama. They're not going to beat Alabama with doesn't matter who's starting it, quarterback for Tennessee. They go to Kentucky. Then they host Oklahoma, which I think is going to be a very interesting game. I have Tennessee with that win as of right now, but I'm not 100% convinced on that. New Mexico State at Florida and Vandy. I have Tennessee with 8 wins or 9, you know, but I just – if you're going to bet that future, you've got to bet under because of the, you know, the whole Boo Carter thing in Tennessee also. He's not playing this year. I really don't think so. I think he may transfer or may just sit out because he's not getting the money he wants. He's still hurt. A whole lot of things go into that. Tennessee's got some turmoil that a lot of people outside the program don't hear and don't see. So you've got to take Tennessee under 8.5.
Kip, A&M's got Notre Dame. They've got LSU on the road. They've got Texas on the road. Why is Mike Elko going to be that little shining guy that's going to help everyone believe that A&M's back?
You know, I've never been a real big proponent of that team, but I paid attention to all of SEC media days, and Mike Elko really sort of impressed me. I've been aware of him certainly when he was at Duke and what he accomplished there, which is not a football school, and he made big inroads. He was an A&M guy, so being back there and just hearing people's glowing reports of how he's running that program, and then I started looking at the depth of that team coming back. They've got almost all their frontline players from a year ago. They've got Marcel Reed back, who was just magical in that game against LSU in the second half. I just think this team, there's got to be somebody kind of looming on the horizon that can be a team that's going to cause some problems. I think Oklahoma's in that category too. Those are kind of the X factor teams, in my opinion, in this race this year. And I don't know. I can't wait to see Air Oklahoma. Which is, you think about Oklahoma, you think about running the wishbone and grinding it out on the ground and pounding everybody defensively. We really haven't seen Oklahoma teams really air it out, so that should be interesting too. But I didn't realize, you know, until I started paying attention and reading about A&M, that this team has got a lot of people in the right spots. And I just think somebody is going to be kind of a antagonist coming from off the pace that you don't really think about. All we're doing is talking about the big name teams. I don't think I agree with Kai completely. I think South Carolina defensively, I don't care how well they've plugged in people from the portal. They had some absolutely superstar players leave now and going on to the NFL. I just can't imagine them being as defensively successful.
Have you looked at their schedule, though? I mean, I've got them as one of the top five teams in the playoffs because they missed it by one game last year. If you want to go to the South Carolina, it's a joke. I mean, I don't see how you, when you're sitting there saying 6 games in South Carolina, it's a joke. Their schedule is ridiculously easy. For the SEC, it is. We can go through that.
I mean, let's talk about it. I mean, they open with Virginia Tech. Okay.
When?
That's a toss problem.
Then they play South Carolina State.
Yeah, okay.
Then they got Vandy.
Okay.
Then they go to Missouri.
I'm
not high on either coach. I think
yeah, I was going to say you just mentioned you have Missouri winning 6 games this year. So what makes you think they're going to lose that game?
Yeah, that's one of the 6 they win. But I mean,
it's still an FTC road game.
This should be called the douche bowl, and the winner gets the biggest douche between Drinkwitz and Beamer because I think they're two of the stupidest coaches in the SEC, and they look the part. So then
Beamer almost went to the playoffs last year at South Carolina, for God's sakes. Lou Holtz couldn't do that.
Last year's
over. Billy Spurrier couldn't do
Okay, last year's over. Okay, but then listen to this. So I got them winning their next game against Kentucky. So now
I'll put a steak dinner on it right now that South Carolina will go to the playoffs before your Boise State Broncos will go. How's that?
Okay.
I'll take Boise State. Sign me up. Yeah, I'm just exactly. Dealing with that.
Your fucking steak dinners are too expensive out in Las Vegas. I'm not going out there and buying you steak dinner in Las Vegas.
Boise State's going to be in the Pac-12. Boise State's in the Mountain West this year in the Pac-12. Yeah, they're Pat. I'm not saying they're an even better program or the better players. I think their path to get to the playoffs a lot
clearer. Maybe they'll play
each other. South Carolina. So we got South Carolina at 4-1 after five games. Then they have a bye. Then they go to LSU. Okay. So then they host Oklahoma. Then they host Alabama. Then they go to Ole Miss. Then they go to Texas A&M.
Well, that's a pretty tough stretch. Wow.
Then they host Coastal Carolina. So there's their fifth win. And then they play Clemson. There's their sixth win. Don't know if you heard that. Still, tell me who I told you they're going to lose to. Who are they going to lose to that I said that you disagree with, Tony?
I think they got to beat Oklahoma. Obviously, if you want to look at the Alabama game from last year, I don't know what Alabama's going to look like this year. I think Case really, this is the widest open I've ever seen anything. It wouldn't surprise me to see South Carolina beat Alabama. It would not surprise me at all. I can see Legend shooting himself in the head week five this year because Kalen DeBoer's already lost two games.
At least he'll be on the top of the ESPN headlines again.
There's no doubt.
Help him up, Tony.
We'll see. Mark it 41 minutes and 19 seconds on this particular show here. I guess South Carolina. Even the blind squirrel will find his nut every once in a while. All right, so we've gone through 8 a.m. Let's go to the Big Ten and talk about what we expect here. Of course, the Big Ten has won the national title the last couple of seasons. We'll start with the elephant in the room because everyone's talking about Ohio State obviously winning the national title. They lost their OC. They lost their DC, Julian Saints, Kevin Andrea. Jeremiah Smith, who's just an unbelievable wide receiver, says they'll never lose to Michigan again. Let's start with Ryan Day, 70-10 in his seven seasons, obviously, at Ohio State. He's a great coach, period. I don't like his beard. I don't like how dark his hair is. I think he's weird looking. But I do think that Ohio State, obviously, has got a lot to play for when it comes to defending the national title. We'll start with you, Kip. What's your shots on Ohio State? And then give me another team in the Big Ten you think can knock them off.
Oh, boy, my favorite subject.
I know, and I start with you first because I know you could go an entire show on the Big Ten.
Well, I'll just get it out of the way. I mean, Ohio State is still going to have personnel out the you-know-what, but there are major losses, both the coordinators. I think, and you guys can disagree with me, I think without having Chip Kelly on board last year, they don't win the national championship. If you look at how Ryan Day managed that game against Michigan, played the ultimate, let's play not to lose this game instead of playing to win it. I mean, you talk about superior personnel. That was absolutely an embarrassing abomination, and I don't have any proof of this, but I am almost convinced that Chip Kelly, who was Ryan Day's coach originally when he played college football at New Hampshire, I believe. I think Chip Kelly went back to being the mentor instead of the associate. And I'm absolutely convinced because the Ohio State team that we saw in the playoffs was completely different than the team that tried to grind out a win against horrible Michigan last year. They aired it out. They used their weapons. I'm convinced Chip Kelly went to Ryan Day and said, look, we've got the best team this year. We've got to play like it. And I think that's why they won the championship. So I think the Chip Kelly departure to the Raiders is absolutely huge. Remember just 5, 6, 7 years ago, Chip Kelly was still considered one of the most desirable head coaches in all of college football. So I just think that's a huge loss. And of course, the defensive coordinator, I think Penn State's paying him like $4 million, which is the most any coordinator's ever made, if I'm not mistaken. He's gone. So those are a couple of big cogs in the wheel out of the equation. But who's going to beat them in the Big Ten? They've got Penn State at home. James Franklin has not been able to get over that hurdle. He might have superior personnel this year, but I'll believe it when I see it. And as for the rest of the league, who the hell are you going to pick? I mean, they have so many bottom feeders and teams that you would think reputation wise are a lot better. Wisconsin and Michigan State, they both absolutely stink. Terrible teams going in the wrong direction. Case said it right here on this show a couple of times last year. Purdue was the worst power conference team in America, bar none. And they've brought in Odom from UNLV now. Maybe he'll improve things. Purdue is absolutely disgraceful. They just have so many bad teams. My partner, Terry Quillian, said the problem with the Big Ten insisting the SEC play 9 games is they've got so many teams in their league that absolutely stink that they basically have cupcake games in their own conference. You don't really have that in the SEC. Mississippi State, I mean, I agree with Kai too. Kentucky, do you guys realize, as I cannot get away from the SEC, Mark Stoops' record, Mark Stoops, who is reputed to do a great job at Kentucky, quote unquote, is 28-63 in his career in the SEC, and he's going into his 13th year. That says it all. But there's a whole host of those kind of teams in the Big Ten. I don't know what Oregon's going to have. That'll be mysterious to see. Maybe they're the great threat. Lincoln Riley knows he's in big trouble. He's been buying players right and left and has got right now the leading recruiting class for next year. So maybe they're on the horizon. But Ohio State, I think this year almost wins the Big Ten by default, because if you look at their schedule, it's not daunting at all. And I hate to say that, it makes my stomach a little bit nauseous, but I think the Buckeyes come out of there because I don't think there's anybody else, and they got Penn State at home, which is the difference maker.
Case has got a big smile on his face. I'm gonna because I know you're gonna go off in this. I will agree with you that I think it's Ohio State and everyone else besides Penn State. I think Penn State certainly got a shot at knocking off Ohio State. All they got to do is look at some Michigan film. Michigan 12-7, 17-17, 15-13 against Ohio State, 19 against Bama. Those were their points they scored. They ranked 129th in total offense last year. I don't think Michigan, Illinois is a dark horse. A lot of people talking about maybe Bielema can pull them out. Oregon's lost so many people. They only got 5 guys coming back on defense. Sophomore Dante Moore, the quarterback. I haven't seen enough of him to tell you that he's going to be able to sling the ball over the place. And then again, you're just talking about Penn State. I do think that they're just going to run the hell out of the ball. I was looking at Catron Allen and Nick Singleton's.
Yeah, their backs are awesome.
Yeah, 68 touchdowns and 7,000 yards these two running backs have gotten in their 3 years, and they're both coming back for their senior year. So they're all in. So, I mean, if this is Penn State's year, all they got – I don't know if Penn State's going to be an underdog. They will be against Ohio State, but I don't know if they're going to be an underdog 6 times, certainly not this year. So maybe if they win those games as a favorite, maybe this is Penn State's year. They'll certainly make the Final 12. Your thoughts, Case? I know you had a little bit of a smirk over there in the Big Ten.
No, I agree with a lot of what Kip said. I would say, and yeah, they're going to be a dog at Ohio State, and maybe I'm just crazy, and this is why I think it's the ultimatum year for Franklin. I'll take Penn State's personnel over Ohio State's right now. With a lot of these teams, like, so I think there's a scenario where Penn State can lose that game and still win the rest and get to the Big Ten championship. So, yeah, Ohio State's still a pretty big favorite in the betting market. I can't remember now, like 4-1 on Penn State to win the Big Ten. It was one of the first bets I made this year. I think they're down to like +2. They've come pretty close to Ohio State now. I think they're like +250. I still don't hate that. I just, on paper, I like Penn State the best in the conference. Ohio State, I think the last time we talked about, like Kai said, we were all on Ohio State for the Texas game. I think the last time we talked about this was before I really deep dove the Big Ten. I'm a little down on Ohio State compared to the market. I certainly would still pick them. My immediate lean would be them over Texas. Although a lot of these week one lines, I never bet week one till later. And I'm like kicking myself. Oh, I liked this spot. It's moving. There's a lot of games I wish I already would have bet. Ohio State, Texas is not one of them. I'm probably not going to be involved there. I think that number seems about right. I think from a talent perspective, Texas is probably a little bit higher caliber, but I think Ohio State has more proven guys coming back. So I don't know. That'll be an interesting one. Yeah, so I'm all in on Penn State. I got Penn State to win the league. I got Penn State over 10.5 wins, I think, at +150. I think the interesting thing is going to be who's going to be the team that can come and break that up. Oregon also at over under 10.5. I'm just not as high on Oregon this year, although I'm like Mr. Dan Lanning. I think I said it last year. I'll say it again. If I was starting a program and I could pick one coach, obviously you got to take in the future and everything. I might be Lanning over everyone. I just think so highly of him. So maybe they can overachieve, but they just have like no one back. And then they were going to build their offense around Evan Stewart, who's like their electrifying playmaker. And he tore up his knee, I think, in June. He's going to be out for the year. So I think you got to be looking in kind of the second tier of what team you think could crash the party. I do have one in mind. There's one team I really, really like. I have bet as a long shot to win the conference. I've bet over win total. I guess I can be like Kai here because I still can't believe I didn't get that Blue Jays home record question, right? I know I shouldn't go back to the beginning of the show, but I knew they just won 11 homes. Anyone want to guess who's the mid-tier team of the Pac-12 that I think is in position to possibly...
The Iowa Hawkeyes.
I like them. I'm on over 6.5, but not the one I had in mind for that high upside. I do like Iowa.
Illinois?
Illinois and Indiana, I'm both under. I thought Kip might get it because he kind of hinted at it. I, a lot of times, avoid falling into this annual hype. I just think this year it's a lot more. I like USC a lot. I think they have the schedule.
Yeah. No one talks about them, too.
Yeah, I mean.
No, they've forgotten completely.
I mean, totally forgotten.
The one thing that concerns me is Jaden Maeva likes to throw a lot of interceptions, but I mean, he's still a very high-level, highly talented quarterback. I mean, Georgia was giving the guy $1 million, and USC came in and gave him more. So it tells you what he's thought of. And you know, I could trust Lincoln Riley with quarterbacks. And to me, quarterback's the only question on this team. I think it was kind of quiet because they went 1-6 in games decided by less than a touchdown last year. If you remember, they were blowing all these games at the end of the year. I think because of that, it really got shielded over how big of a step their defense took last year. They were actually good defensively for the first time under Riley last year with DeAnton Lynn, their new defensive coordinator. A lot of what Riley's saying at Big Ten Media Days, which starts today, I'm sure he's going to say it at Big Ten Media Days. He's already been saying it, but it starts today at Mandalay Bay, is that this is the best defense he's ever had. He feels really confident on that side of the ball. So if the only question to me is if your quarterback can not turn the ball over a little bit more, I'm going to trust in Lincoln Riley's system. I think USC over 7.5 is a great bet, and I sprinkled 25-1 to win the Big Ten.
There are a lot of coaches out there saying they got the best defense they've ever had this year. You realize that? I'm just like 4 or 5 different guys have said we got the best defense. Sarkisian said it. I mean, it's just amazing how many great college football coaches, or at least you think are great college football coaches, say they've got
it. Brian Kelly said it.
Yeah, I know. It's like, just be quiet. Just let your play take care of it. And I know we like to compare, and again, you look at the Big Ten, man, the fact that Indiana made the playoffs last year, which was absolutely amazing. Obviously, Oregon was in the mix. It was a good year for the Big Ten. But for some reason, I have a feeling that it does fall apart this year. Kai, I'm going to give you another shot at the Big Ten. And when you get into this, is there an Arizona State in the Big Ten? And again, Oregon is one of those squads that, you know, it's really difficult to ever go against them just because they're so successful for such a long period of time. But they just got no one coming back, and they are banged up.
You know, I was looking at Indiana's schedule. I was looking at Illinois' schedule. Indiana, I think, has the easier schedule. ODU, Kennesaw State, Indiana State, Illinois. At Iowa, which could be iffy. Then they have a bye before they go to Oregon, Michigan State, UCLA, at Maryland, at Penn State, with the bye for Duke. I mean, I don't know. So I was looking, just comparing the Ohio State and Penn State schedules, especially after talked about how weak Ohio State's schedule was. And I do believe, looking at it again, I thought Penn State had a weaker schedule. They did not.
Oh, the first three games are an absolute joke.
But I think that Ohio State, I think the best chance Ohio State has to lose is week one. I really do. I don't think Penn State's going to win at Ohio State. I'm not going to disagree that they may be as talented just at Ohio State. I mean, Ohio State has Texas, Grambling, Ohio, bye, at Washington, Minnesota, at Illinois, at Wisconsin, bye. And that's huge, bye, and then Penn State at home. At Purdue, UCLA, Rutgers, at Michigan. Penn State also has a bye before they play Ohio State. But they go Nevada, FIU, Villanova,
jeez,
and a bye. Because after that rough three-game schedule, they need a bye, before they play Oregon, without a doubt. Then UCLA, Northwestern, Iowa, bye, Ohio State, Indiana, Michigan State, Nebraska, Rutgers. And, I just don't see there being a team, maybe USC, okay, I wasn't going that low down it. But, I mean, if you're talking about Ohio State and production – this coming back, I mean, Ohio State has, you know, less than 50% of their returning production, and on both sides of the ball, they have 48% on defense. Oregon only has 45% on defense and 43% overall returning production from last year, which those are supposed to be two of the top teams. Then you go and look at what they've done in the transfer portal and how much money they've spent. You go, oh, that's how they're going to do it.
Yeah. You're right. They got nothing coming back on offense. And I haven't seen enough about it. Dante Moore, the quarterback there at Oregon, to make a call on it. You know, you're talking about some of the early games. We always talk about Texas, Ohio State. That one game, Michigan, Oklahoma, that may be, since we've talked about the SEC and the Big Ten today, that may be one of those games that's going to be a tipping point for one of those two teams to kind of set the table for the rest of the season. What do you think, Kip?
I'm not high on Michigan. I just
help but think they're going to be back. Right. I'm not a Sharon Moore guy. I'm just not. I think the story was, I think the way the tears and the way Harbaugh left, and it just was a weird thing. And I think it was a love fest. I think everyone loved Sharon because he was always on the staff. I don't think he should be a coach. I think he'll be gone after this season. Go ahead.
They closed the year beating Ohio State and Alabama.
I know, but they scored 32 points doing it too. That's the amazing thing. And those by far two of the worst two games for both Ohio State and for Alabama.
Jalen Milroe was most valuable player for Michigan in that game. Let's not hold back. Well,
and Ohio, let's face it, Alabama doesn't care unless they're playing for a playoff, right?
Why would Michigan care? They're the defending national champions. If this was flipped and the SEC did this to the Big Ten, you guys would be saying, "Well, we play football down here in Alabama. You got to have the better defense." It's just the double standards.
Alabama embarrassed themselves. They didn't show up. They were pathetic. That was a ridiculous.
Lost to Vanderbilt, for God's sakes. What's Michigan? I mean, who cares?
Michigan's schedule is not. They open with New Mexico, but then they go to Oklahoma, and I've got Oklahoma winning that game.
I do too.
I don't care. I know Michigan's Michigan. Are they? I mean, then they play Central Michigan. They go to Nebraska. They have a bye. They play Wisconsin. Then they go to Case's sleeper, USC. So what's going to happen there? Then they play Washington. Then they go to horrible Michigan State, Purdue, a bye, at Northwestern, at Maryland, and then Ohio State.
That Big Ten, no. I mean, there's just too many bad teams in the Big Ten. I'm sorry. There's 18 teams, and there should be 18 teams. I mean, it's just bad.
But every difficult game Michigan has is on the road this year. So I think Michigan loses five games. I'm sure they'll be okay against the tomato cans they play. But, you know, this is a 7-5 team. I'm sorry.
Sure. Great. I haven't heard that. Tomato cans. Like
despite how it sounded, I'm not high on Michigan. I'm actually kind of neutral. I don't have over or under. I will say, I think Kai just read the schedule. I think that schedule is pretty forgiving. I mean, they play all the worst teams in the conference. So if there's a team you could say makes a leap, I would be them. I feel like they were better last year than you guys are giving them credit. They were terrible offensively. They still produced a bunch of NFL defensive guys. I don't know. I just feel like picking and choosing when bowl games matters isn't really fair. I mean, they ran for like 150 yards on Alabama. You're not supposed to be able to run for 150
only
yards.
Only Alabama fans pick and choose that. You have to understand that. I know you're not down here all the time, Case. Alabama fans pick and choose when it's important to win a game. After they lose to Auburn for 3 weeks, they cuss the coach. Then they win a national championship. Oh, well, national championships are more important. If they lose the SEC championship game, and then win the national. The SEC championship game. Well, that's important. That's not important, depending on what happens the rest of the year. So understand that it's only Alabama fans that stay there, and then Ohio State fans are becoming that way. And it's also the Bammers, which those are Alabama fans that have never been to Tuscaloosa. They did not go to school there. They just have assumed the Alabama fanship, like Yankees fans, and now Ohio State fans.
But they buy their clothes, so that counts. I mean, they're putting money in the coffers.
I will say one last thing on Michigan. Supposedly, the rumblings is that Underwood is ahead of Mikey Keene right now to be the quarterback. I don't know if that helps the under or the over, because I feel like the tails are just way wider. You don't know. I mean, this kid's going to be, 18-year-old playing against all these guys that are, I mean, for all intents and purposes, professional athletes now in the Big Ten and the SEC. Obviously, LSU gave Underwood $3 million, and he left to go to Michigan. So clearly they think highly of him. I think Keene is probably the safer bet, but if Underwood starts, they have a higher upside. I'm not saying I like them in the Oklahoma game either. That's another coin flip to me. I think that's such a huge, especially for Oklahoma. I feel like that game's going to determine what direction they go, and maybe Michigan too. I feel like a lot of your thoughts on these two teams come down to those two teams. And just before I sign off, one other sleeper in the Big Ten. They're on both Michigan and Ohio State's schedule. Ohio State has to go there. The other team I really like, probably not to win the conference, but probably my second favorite over. I really like Washington over 7.5. I think Jed Fish is one of the more underrated coaches in the nation. You look at what he did at Arizona in year three. They won, I think, what, 10 or 11 games. He has way more to work with Washington. Damon Williams, I think, is a sleeping giant, a quarterback, dual threat guy. I really like the Huskies, too. Don't sleep on that. You know, don't just be marking wins so easy on Ohio State at Washington or even Washington at Michigan. I think they knock off someone really good this year.
K4wins.com, K4wins.com, K4wins.com on X at K4Winners. Till Friday morning, 10 o'clock Central, we'll get into the Big 12. This is K4Wins. Thank you, guys.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.